The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you having 100 sheep and losing one would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine were fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine who was dead has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and of dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. His servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older son became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf. The father said to him, "My son, you are here always with me. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
You know, I wonder what Paul was feeling when he shared with Timothy. I was a blasphemer, persecutor, man filled with arrogance. I wonder what was going through his mind. Now, most scholars say that Paul did not write this letter, that perhaps it was from a community that Paul founded, an associate. It's written in the school of Paul, the thinking of Paul, the theology of Paul. But still, I like the image of Paul pacing around in the room, dictating this letter. And as he tells Timothy, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, I was a man filled with arrogance," the past just coming back to him, remembering how he was, things that he did. Not just before the Damascus event, but even after the Damascus event, while he was still a fledgling disciple, still trying to figure out how to share, how to proclaim the word, stumbling and bumbling along the way until he fine-tunes his craft. I wonder if he experienced a shudder or two thinking about the past. Because if he did, well, then I have at least one thing in common with Paul. Because when I think about the past, things that I've done, things that I've said, shiver runs up the spine. I flinch. I shudder. All those stupid, silly, stubborn, selfish things, hurtful words, passive-aggressive behavior, trying to build myself up in some way by tearing someone else down. I flinch. I wonder, is that who I am? I don't want to be like that. But when I think, ugh, I don't think I'm the only one that goes through that from time to time. I think when we look at the past, the stupid, silly, stubborn things that we've done, I think we all have a shudder or two. I wonder about those who don't. I wonder if they're really being honest with themselves. Because I have to think, for each and every one of us, at one moment in our past, at one time, one encounter, we could have been a little more patient with another, a little more understanding, a little more merciful. At one moment, for everyone, just to be a little less selfish, a little more loving. I got to think that that's true for all of us. And I know I wish the past would just go away whenever those thoughts come to me. I wish it could just all disappear. We want to run away from the past, but we cannot change the past, can we? The past is a part of who we are now. I think the point in this passage to Timothy is that we don't have to let the past cripple us, that we don't have to be defined by our past. Past is past, and who we are now is not necessarily who we used to be. Another way of putting it is that every sinner has a future. Every saint has a past. For Paul, he has come to believe about the Lord. He's come to know, come to experience that the Lord is indeed merciful. That God really is the forgiving Father that we hear about in the gospel. That he's there, looking out, watching for us, welcoming us back home, ready to help us to begin again.